Pete Simpson is with us, famed former Chicago Blackhawk and NHL player for many years, many teams, many stops. And we were talking about this last week. I saw you at the game. This upcoming week here for the Blackhawks is not going to be easy now, is it?
No, it's the hardest part of the playoffs, I think. Getting into the first round and then playing a team that's all jacked up, everybody's ready to go. St. Louis got a lot of talent over there. It's probably going to be their hardest series, I think, for them to go all the way through.
So we had Eddie Olczyk on last week, and he was saying that the teams like the Blues or whomever else it would be moving forward who have to play the Hawks always look at the Hawks as the Stanley Cup champions. So they're sort of the automatic underdog. Do you think that's true?
I think it is in a way. What I've experienced in my career and just knowing the way it goes, I was fortunate enough to be involved with a team that won my first year called up. And what it does is when you win, it gives you an idea of what it actually takes. And I see teams like St. Louis, Washington, that are right on the cusp. They haven't won, but they haven't, they're right there. And once they get that in their head that they can win, and if you get by a series against a team like the Chicago Blackhawks, you can go all the way. You got another team, LA, that you're going to meet in the second round if you get through, and they know how to win too. So
they've been there. And they've won.
They're one of the, I think the Hawks and them have won 5 out of 6 out of the last 6 years. So this is not an easy road to get to the finals. And there's so much talent that it's a grind throughout. And you talk to the guys after. I was in the dressing room with the Hawks after they won last year, and Duncan Keith was just. He was just exhausted, and you could just tell it. You could see it in their face, and it's such a grind. But they know what it takes to win, and so they're up for the challenge. So it'll be a really interesting start. Maybe being on the road will help them a little bit. There won't be any pressure there,
That's interesting. In front of their fans, so explain that a little bit. Why would that be?
Well, I've always when you play at home, obviously there's that hometown, feeling that you have. Mm-hmm. You score a goal, you do something good.
You want to please the audience.
Yeah, but when you're on the road, it's more just robotic and mechanical. And just you go there, you got one thing in mind each day. You know what time you're getting up. You know what time you're going to the rink. You know what time it's going to be done. You know what time you're going to eat. And you just get the job done. So if they go down there and they get one game there, I think that they can come home with a good confidence. And they might take two. Hmm. St. Louis, the series they played against them the last few years they played them, it's always been really tough. There's been like one goal games. It's been
physical too.
Very, very physical. So it's not going to be, it's not going to be easy. And I think all around you look at probably all the series I think that most times that I've been involved in playoffs, that first round is just – guys are ready to go. Like guys are ready to just start taking each other's heads off and really get after it. So I loved it. That was the best part of hockey. It was the funnest time of year, and that's what you play the whole year for, regardless of what you do during the year. Once you're in, that's your opportunity. And I was given some good advice and when I was younger. By a guy that has led a lot of great teams into the playoffs, and Lou Lamoriello told me one time that all you want to do is have a team that has a chance to win, and I think there's probably 6 to 8, maybe 9 teams this year that have a legitimate chance to win and that are in the playoffs. So, any one of those teams could potentially take it all the way if they get through this first round, and I'm thinking the Hawks are going to come out ahead in this round, and then. Then you sort of get in the rhythm and you'll play a team, either Anaheim or LA, and they'll go from there. So,
you mentioned Duncan Keith. He's going to be missing game one, but it seems other than that they're at full strength. They're healthy again. They're saying that Hoss is back, Anisimov's back, Shaw's back, Corey Crawford will be back. Important stuff to have everybody working toward. Talk a little more about this matchup with the Hawks and the Blues.
Well, their depth is definitely something that, is something that they've been dependent on in years. And you even see it during the season when a couple guys go down or a couple guys are injured, there's a couple guys that step in and their role players have always been there for them. And, little injuries, it's weird when you're in the playoffs, little injuries just don't seem to hurt that much. You get a groin pull and it's kind of just a little bit, your arm is sore. Regular year season, it would be like, maybe I'll sit out tonight. playoffs, it just doesn't happen and you just forget about it. I know I played one playoffs one year and my back was sore every day until I got on the ice, and through warm up, I was still wondering how it was going to be. And then you get into the game and it just all of a sudden it's great. And an hour after, you can barely walk out of the dressing room. So it's one of those things.
Chemistry is, it goes on in your body.
Whatever happens, yeah. I mean, and they've got some good pharmaceuticals that'll.
What? Hold on a second. Hold on. 60 Minutes cameras are here. Let's talk about that.
Well, no, they're all prescription. They're all prescription based.
They're all legal.
No, they've been talking about this. Well, they talk about this in the NFL a little bit because some of the players now are arguing about what that does for their long term career, right? But but I mean, that's true in, I think, all sports. I mean, there are certain things that guys, you know, if you got to go out and play, and
you find a way, you know. And the trainers, the technology nowadays with all the types of modalities they have, all the types of things that they can actually do to your body physically to get you just into a game, play the game, and get home and rest again to get to play again. So there's just so much there, and your brain maybe turns a lot of it off, and because your competitive nature is there. There's certain things that you can't get by, but. You know, I remember one year in New Jersey, Dave Anderchuk, who had played 20 professional years, he broke his ankle 3 weeks before the playoffs started. And it was like an 8-week injury, and the guy played in the first round of the playoffs and it was the third week of his injury, and I couldn't believe it personally cuz I've had an ankle and I've broken my ankle before. And I couldn't even put my skate on for like six. So that's that was something I was just looking at this guy. How are you skating right now?
Well, now, have you seen this? Because our sports guy, Kevin Powell, just got back literally from the Wrigley Field where they were showing that new locker room, club lounge, players lounge.
Nice.
It's really spectacular.
I
mean,
I'm personally offended by it because it's like,
why?
When somebody somebody gets a really nice house, they invite you over and then, oh, and here's my 5,000 square foot television.
And the personal chefs.
Yes. And they go, oh, look at this. Oh, look at my kitchen. To me, it's like, okay, it's great for them. But does that make a big difference, do you think, for players?
It does. I mean, and, you know, for the Cubs, it was a long time coming. I've been in their last locker room, and
that was bad, right?
So yeah,
it was on the wrong side.
Bit of an overreact. This is like a lottery win, though.
Yeah,
this
is
a bit of an overreaction.
Well, they deserve it, I think, after what they've done the last couple
years. Yeah,
that's
probably true.
Their old clubhouse is now a batting cage, by the way.
Well, yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
Well, they're definitely, they're touching on them. I mean, they, like you said, they're on the cusp of being that team that can take it somewhere. So
now they got to win.
Now they just got to get through it.
I mean, they got through the first, they got the play-in game. They got through the NLDS, and it is the NLCS. It's just,
the pitchers wore down a bit.
Yeah, I want to say choke because, I'm not.
When Arrieta lost that game, that was it, I think, for them. They couldn't overcome that one win that there almost should have been guaranteed.
All right, Reed, hold on one second because I want to ask you about Russia because I know you spend time there.
Yep.
You've played there. And this, the whole, like, now, obviously, the Hawks are investing in Russian players, right?
Oh, yeah.
And it's very interesting to see. And I just want to know what's the secret there because you got a guy like Artemi Panarin who comes into the United States. And he's a world beater.
Yeah.
Right?
He actually played for my team. And when I was over in Russia, I worked with a team. I played with one for 4 years. And he came in as a 17-year-old that I you'd look at him and you'd wonder if you could break him.
Reed Simpson is with us. Famed Chicago Black, former Chicago Blackhawk, former NHL player, been around, played on a lot of teams, had a lot of fun. And it appears also had some fun in Russia.
Oh, yeah.
As it worked out. Now, you were saying earlier, Artemi Panarin, he was on a team that you had been involved with, you'd played for, and also you still go over there and like coach young kids, right?
Yeah, I go over there once a year. I've got still a lot of friends there. I really enjoyed the experience. I know like a lot of people, get a negative opinion of it, or they only hear the negative things, but I worked for some great people. They treated me well. They kept me on after I retired. And the people that I now do work with, they're just young and up and coming guys that are trying to, get over here to the United States and Canada and play hockey and play professional or go to school.
And so the economy is such in the KHL, their NHL, that it's so much more lucrative to come here than to work there.
It is now. The dollar fluctuation changes everybody's opinion. When I was there, it was upside down the other way, where you had guys going back because. The money they were offering was outpacing probably what they were paying the NHL, but I think they probably chopped that in a quarter because of the rubles fall.
Right.
So now guys are looking. You start hearing guys wanting to come back here and play, and And the NHL is the, you know, the elite of the world, and everyone knows that. And that's why you see kids like Panarin coming over here. I mean, I'm sure he made great money when he was there, and he learned a lot. He became quite a player.
Was he MVP of the KHL or something? He was a top player.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was right up there. He played with Kovalchuk, so, I mean, and he's right on that level. And there are guys over there. I remember when I first got there, and they really hadn't heavily scouted the league yet. There was guys I were playing against that were like 19, 20, 21 years old that I was like, this kid belongs in the NHL. Mm. But nobody knows who they are. They're playing for a team in, you know, the middle of Russia, and they've never probably been outside of Russia other than maybe playing a few events at World Junior stuff. But getting those players to understand like what they're signing up for over here is different too. So I think Panarin came over when he was ready. You know, I saw him when he was 17. He was maybe 150 pounds, but he had what it took. And you never know how someone's going to develop. So not bringing a kid like that over here until he's ready, I think, was the right move for him. And it's definitely been the right move for the Hawks.
Isn't
that's
amazing,
for sure.
Just, I know we're short on time here, but imagine just the timing that he and Patrick Kane have.
It's incredible.
But that's not something you can teach, right? Or
no,
coach.
And that doesn't matter what language you speak, what ice surface you're on. Those two guys are elite players. You know, some of the, like, Patrick Kane's proved to be one of the best players in the world. I mean, you can put him in.
You'd be surprised by this. I know you're from Manitoba, but that there has never been an NHL MVP born in the United States.
I know,
it's crazy.
Patrick
Kane is the first.
And I played with Mike Modano in junior hockey, and he was close. But I think, you know, Patrick has something special that only probably 50 to 75 guys in the whole league have. And I've always said this, that there's probably about 7,500 guys in the NHL that probably should have their own league, you know, like it shouldn't be, they're just that much better than everybody else.
Yeah.
And everyone else is kind of playing in their league. So, you know, it's just, it's a pleasure to get to play. I was fortunate enough to play with some of the best players ever. And just to be on the ice with them every day makes you a better player, makes you a better person. And, you know, my job was just to, you know, to be a part of that and make sure that I could, you know, support that kind of stuff. And
pro athletes are a generally pretty fun group of folks to be around. But I've always found that NHL players, they're sort of in a league of their own, because NHL players are always kind of fought for American recognition, right? Like, you know, because NFL players and MLB players or whatever, it's just, you know, it's unfortunate, but hockey is sort of in the nation, you know, the fourth sport.
Sure.
And yet, you know, and what I love about NHL players is they still go out every night, and they're more the physical nature, the difficulty in what you do, have to do, forwards, backwards, on skates, right? I mean, it's just an incredible act of, you know, exhibition of talent.
Yeah. No, it is. Like, I mean, and when you see someone that's that good, that and you know, you're up in maybe the best of the best, but you see. And I'm including everyone that, you know, possibly is in the NHL, and they're the best of the best are just that much better. You know, that's when you really start to go, wow, like this is unbelievable. Yeah. And I don't know, since retiring, and, you know, I play men's league hockey with the Chargers over at Johnny's Ice House, and now it's hard.
You can get hurt over that, there, can't that, you? You're a bunch of my
well,
friends.
It hurts. Definitely hurts. I mean, you got to be in shape still, and you're playing against 25, 30-year-old kids, and they just, it's hard. I mean, it's physically hard. And
you ever
and
just
you
go,
know
all right,
that.
Go ahead, get past
yeah.
me, I don't care. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, I still have that competitive nature in me. Yeah. And I think they think at any moment I'm going to just drop my gloves and start beating the heck out of someone, you know. But it you know, I have that competitive nature. That's when you're on the ice, that's where you feel at home. So I understand what these guys are going through. You know, it's heartbreaking when you don't win, and it's, you know, it may be the best feeling in the world when you do.
Patrick Kane told Steve Cochran this morning he may go mulletless in the postseason. Good idea to change your hairstyle before the postseason. I thought I thought they're just so into their routine and they don't change
anything. They will,
anything.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm just at the age now where I'm just hoping I still have hair, period. So that's what I'm working on.
The beard thing just drives me nuts.
I don't like it either. I could never get into that. I don't like... Johnny Taves looks like an Amish elf when he's, you know, halfway
like
through
Wolverine.
The playoffs. So, yeah,
is what like, example
like. But if it works for him, yeah, it works for him. I, you know, who am I going to tell?
I know. God bless. Right. All right, Reed. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank
man.
You.
Really
man.
Appreciate it. Reed Simpson, and hopefully you'll hear more of him during a Blackhawk playoff hockey right here on. Actually, it's Stanley Cup playoff hockey. I'm being told. I've been told we have to say it that way.
Yes. The NHL even sent out emails and notes to the press about how to properly pronounce the Stanley Cup playoffs.
How else would one pronounce it?
Yeah,
Coop. What would it be? All right. Thank you very much, Reed.